will be the first seven verses of 2 Kings chapter 4. Hear the word of God. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons, and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." This is the word of the living God. As we come to the opening verses of chapter 4, our scripture reading, we need to remember that Elisha the prophet had come from a rather glorious miracle in the deliverance of God's people from the invading armies. And one would think that Elisha might have been promoted in the kingdom of Israel, might have been recognized now as God's servant, might have received honors even from the kings and the heads of state for the deliverance that we find recorded in chapter 3. But as chapter 4 unfolds, we find nothing of that nature. What we do find is that we see Elisha working for God's kingdom and ministering now to a destitute widow and giving her the life-giving power of the word of the Lord. The focus of this text is upon the generosity and the blessing of God upon this destitute widow, a widow in Israel, a widow to whom the mercy of God comes. God, who is concerned or who is in control of the entire universe, providentially caring for all things, created all things, glorified in his creation, now turns his attention through the word of the prophet to a poor widow. The widow of a prophet. The widow of a man, as the text tells us, who feared God. Interesting that that would be said of this man. He feared the Lord. That is, he was faithful to the Lord. Was the office of a prophet one that you would have wanted your son to enter in the days of Elijah and Elisha, remembering that during the reign of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, that they set their murderous intent to remove the prophets and to remove them by killing them? And Obadiah, the servant of the Lord, one of the men who ministered in the kingdom and in the household of Ahab, hid two companies of 50 prophets each, who were fed with just bread and water. No, being a prophet was not a glamorous, glorious job in the day of Elijah and Elisha. And here we find that the widow of this prophet is left with very little to live on. In fact, she is not only unable to live and make a living, the creditors were at her door who were going to take her two sons to satisfy a debt. So this word from the Lord about this poor widow opens with a description of her great distress and her poverty. The Lord had allowed her to come to very low circumstances. Remember, this is in a day when the creditors could come and take her sons, because in her day, there was no social security system. Some of us count on that. Some of us are getting closer and are counting on it in the future, but some of us need that, and we're glad it's there for those that need it. But there wasn't one for this poor widow. She had no relatives who could come and redeem her property. You remember the story of Naomi and Ruth, when the husbands died by God's hand and they were left without husbands, that Ruth, who was the Moabitess, going back to Israel with Naomi, had to be redeemed by the kinsman redeemer, Boaz, so that her name and the name of her people and her inheritance would remain with her in Israel. Had he not done so, she would have remained a widow and destitute. Here was a woman loaded with debt, stripped clean by the creditors, having sold everything she had, because she was asked, "What do you have?" And what did she have left? She had her two sons, and she had a jar of oil. She had no savings. She had no wherewithal to get out of this horrible situation. What unimaginable grief and loss. How does the Almighty, the Lord and Creator of all, appear to this woman? Well, in this passage, he appears as the great shepherd and the guide who teaches us, as he demonstrates his power in her life, as the one who works all things together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purposes. We're reminded in this scripture of God's great love for his people and for the widow. He has not deserted his people. He has not deserted this world. He still is in charge. And he cares for you. And when we believe in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, we have a God who loves us and cares for us. And his Son, the Lord Jesus, told us in his word that we can call upon him and call him our Father and address him as our Heavenly Father, who loves us with an electing love, a sovereign love, who will keep us, preserve us, and watch over us as he watched over this widow in all things. And we're told in Scripture that he will safely bring us into his eternal kingdom. She did not stand alone. This widow, though she had nothing and had been stripped bare and clean by these creditors, still had a God who did not fail her. Her calamity, her situation proved to be the blessing that she needed, because it brought the help of God himself to her aid and to her side. That help came directly from the hand of God through the mouth of the prophet. And so the passage begins, the wife of one of the sons of the prophet. We've seen what she was all about and her situation. What does she do in that situation? She cries to Elisha and she tells him her situation. She directs her plea to the living representative of the Word of God, because that's where she had to go. She had no other place to go but to the Word of the living God. And since she had no direct access, as you do, to the throne of grace, because under that old covenant, the old covenant believer was still behind that veil. That veil that prevented us from going into the very direct presence of God. But that veil has been taken away. And the invitation is in Scripture itself, which says, "Come to the throne of grace." We're welcome in the presence of God, who will hear and answer our prayers. We're invited, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, to come with a boldness of faith to the throne of grace. You can say what no ancient Israelite could. You can say, "Lord and God, Abba, Father, hear us for the sake of Jesus, your well-beloved Son." And he who said he is not ashamed to call us brethren has given us that invitation himself. But our widow in the story turns to the word of the Lord through the mouth of the prophet Elisha. And she does that in simple faith. She casts her burden upon the Lord through the means that she had, the prophet of God. And she's content to leave it there. You know, I didn't see the widow coming to the prophet and whining. You know, whining about her situation. Complaining about how bad she's got it, as some might do. And maybe she would go to the widow's coffee clutch and talk with the widows in the coffee clutch. I don't know what she would say, but I do think that she was a woman of faith, and she didn't complain, and she didn't whine. She was content to leave her life and her situation in the hand of the Lord. And I think we can take some insights from that for our own lives, because we often forget to commune with the Lord by faith, rest by faith in Him. Our trials and our needs should drive us to repentance and further faith and to the throne of grace, not to complain. Our hearts should be open to the Lord and tell Him our need, not complaining, but putting it before Him as the widow does and saying, Lord, You are able to meet my needs. In fact, Scripture says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good deed. God is going to supply all that we need to carry out His sovereign purposes. And in fact, Paul writes in Ephesians 3, having told us in 2 Corinthians 9, what I've just quoted, that His grace will abound in every need, we can ask the God who can do immeasurably more than we ask or can even imagine. When we ask God to do things, we don't even have the ability to imagine the power that's at His disposal, the power that He has and the ability that He has to meet our needs. But we are called to faith and to trust in Him. This was a woman of faith. She referred to God's promise to those who fear the Lord, a claim that is never ignored in the courts of heaven. She came to the God who is able to deliver through the prophet of and the word of the Lord, through the mouth of the prophet of the Lord, so that she could stand before the Lord and worship Him. Let's look then at the response that Elisha gives to the widow, beginning at verse 2. Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." And notice then he says, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few." Elisha doesn't say at the very outset, "Don't worry about it. It's all taken care of." Isn't that what we would want? Sure we would. We would want to have that assurance up front. He gives her an assignment, and he makes her go to work. He asks the widow, "What do you have?" And she says, "Only a pot of oil." But the lesson that she would learn is that that little pot of oil, though it was so very little, was enough for God and an opportunity for God to show His might and His power and His deliverance through those means. So He instructs her, go and get every vessel that she can. It's a test of her faith and her obedience. You know, put yourself in that poor woman's position. If I were to put myself in that position, my first response to that instruction, go and collect all of the vessels that you can find, is, what's that got to do with what I need, right? I don't see the connection yet. He hasn't given the connection yet. He's testing her obedience. Will she obey? Will she believe the word of the Lord? She needed to exert this effort and go, and she does. And God chooses to bless her efforts as He blesses our efforts for His kingdom work. The miracle does not come directly, but in connection with the manner of faith of the woman. She went out and she collected every jar that she could find. Not just a few. Remember, he says not just a few, but every jar that she could find. Every jar. And then, when every jar is collected, then the instruction comes, now fill those jars with oil. And every jar was filled from that little jar of oil that she had. How does God do that? I'm not sure. But he's God. He can do that. She complies. She submits to the instructions of the Lord through the mouth of the prophet Elisha. Just like Gideon does when he overthrows the Midianites. You remember the story of Gideon? The Lord said to Gideon, yeah, you got too many. You know, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of Midianites, and he collected this small army of several thousand, and God says, you got too many. Now, if that were me, I'd say, they've got too many. We don't have enough. Right? God says, no, you've got too many. Let's cut it down a little. They cut it down a little, and God says, you didn't cut it down enough. And he instructs them in that business of how they drink the water. And when he cuts it down to the 300, God says, that's enough. Because God was saying to Gideon, through this means, I will deliver you from the hand of the Midianites. Gideon complied with God's instructions. His instructions were completely opposite to the thinking that we have of how things should go. And that was the case with the woman. She was instructed to go and get and collect a bunch of jars. The answer or the question would be, what for? I've only got a little jar of oil. What am I going to do with all the other empty jars? But God had a reason. He had a purpose, and his reason and his purpose was that they would be filled by his miraculous power. She was not only told to bring those borrowed vessels, but she was told to fill them with oil. How am I going to fill empty jars with oil? You know, I'd really love to be able to do that. I was looking at prices in the store the other day of automobile oil, how much it's gone up recently. Wouldn't it be great if I just had a little half a quart of automobile oil and I could go and just keep on pouring and keep on pouring and keep on pouring? Somehow, you know, do you get the sense of how impossible that is? But it was not impossible with God. And God was gracious in providing for her as he is gracious in providing for us. The oil flowed. That little pot of oil, that little jar, which appeared to be so utterly inadequate to meet the demands of the widow's creditor, was the very means that God used to exceed the creditor's demands. And not only did it meet the need of the creditor and paid the debt, but what did it do? It provided for her family and for the future. You know, Jesus did something similar to that with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, I've been in the restaurant business, and I was a short order cook, and I managed the restaurant at times, and I know what it takes to serve a number of people. But I'll tell you this, if I didn't have it in the back, in the cook's room, or in the freezer, I couldn't provide those dinners that the people out front were ordering. It simply didn't work that way. I don't have that ability to multiply and to provide those things, but Jesus does. 5 loaves and 2 fishes in 2 occasions provided for multitudes, thousands of people. And in just the same manner, it was one little tiny pebble, just one little stone out of 5, because we're told that when David gathered up out of the brook 5 stones, that one little stone that he took and put in his sling and used it against the giant Goliath, was all that was necessary by the grace of God to overthrow and to defeat the Philistine giant. God uses this little means for his greater glory. And she's instructed, sell the oil, pay the debt. You know, in that hour or so that it might have taken, in that brief moment, she was delivered from the burden of her creditor. In that short period of time, her debt was satisfied, and her sons with her could live off of the rest of the sale. God's relief was sudden. She didn't expect it to be so quick, perhaps. The circumstances were dire and serious, but God's relief came suddenly, and it was complete, and it was lasting. He didn't just tell the creditors to back off, give us another 3 weeks, another month, another 6 months, we'll take care of it. They were satisfied because God has the means at his disposal. Alfred Edersheim was a great Christian man of Jewish extraction, very familiar with the Hebrew scriptures and a great author, who writes of the customs of the Holy Land and has authored several books. And in one of them, he writes this, man might fail, but in any hour of future need, the same God who fulfilled his promise would still be near and mighty to deliver her. Speaking of this woman, he comments, God's there. He can deliver this woman. And then he says this, this same God is ours also, our Father in Christ Jesus. To him we go with our empty vessels and in our every need. Do we go to our Heavenly Father with our empty vessels, our health, our needs, our concerns, our burdens? Do we take them to the Lord so that he may demonstrate his fatherly care and protection, fulfilling that word of Scripture which says, fear not, I am with thee. The father of the fatherless, the husband of the widow. I like that verse in Scripture. The widow. You think they're alone? They're not. He's the father of the fatherless. He's the husband of the widow. They have one who is closer than you can possibly imagine. Her plea, this dear widow, was for mercy. Her plea was answered. Her prayer was heard. And not only did she receive mercy, but she was powerfully delivered by the sovereign hand of God, a God who demonstrated his all-sufficiency after every human resource was expended. He delivered. How easy it is for the Lord to deliver by the simple utterance of his sovereign word. He can relieve the widow by his word of power. If he can do that, what can he do for you? He can relieve us from our afflictions, from our fears. He can relieve us because he is God. To this God who is our Father, we come in Christ. Through Christ, we are reconciled to him. We are brought into communion and fellowship with God as our Heavenly Father. We ought never to neglect that course that is open to us, that invitation that is ours in Christ Jesus to come to the throne of grace. To you who are in Christ, God is not a God who is far off, but he is unspeakably near. No longer is he a consuming fire, as the scripture speaks of him, but he is your Father for Jesus' sake. You may call upon him. You may offer your petitions and cry out to him, Abba, Father, without hesitation, with boldness, and with an access that has been opened for you by Jesus the Savior, the same Savior who said, ask, seek, knock, and it might be Oh no, that's not the reading of that verse. Ask, seek, knock, and it will be or shall be opened unto you, and you will receive. The promise is there. With such a divine promise and assurance, your prayer, its answer, and God's help will certainly be obtained, for Christ's word will never fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God stands forever. And so, beloved in the Lord, what we depend upon is the word of the living God, as did the widow in the day of Elisha. She received as much oil as the vessels she had collected could hold. How much do you believe? How much can you hold? What are your vessels like? What petitions do you offer and ask to be filled? Do you ask? Do you seek? Do you knock? Believing in the abundance of grace to answer you according to the riches of God in Jesus Christ. The Bible has invited you to do so. The invitation of Scripture is to come. Come to the throne of grace. What a wonderful invitation. Not only to the widow, but to each and everyone who knows and names Jesus as Savior and Lord. Call upon Him while He is near. He will never forsake you. He is God, faithful, ever faithful to His promises. Amen.